There's much to admire about the iconic American cowboy. Alone on horseback, he's independent, a risk-taker, unafraid to chart his own path across life's wide open plains. But when medical professionals talk about cowboy doctors, they're referring to what could be a $500 billion American problem. A cowboy doctor refers to a physician who deviates from professional guidelines and who often provides more aggressive care than is recommended. And it turns out these docs are helping to drive up American healthcare costs in a big way. Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog, has just written about cowboy doctors and their impact on the high cost of healthcare. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, Anthony.
So let's start with a bit of a definition here. Tell us more about what we mean when we describe a physician as a cowboy doctor.
Actually, in healthcare these days, there's a lot of talk about how medical professionals need to work in teams. The more they work in teams, the better. But this is the guy who goes it alone, and in particular, who might say, you know, I've had good experience with my patients with this particular procedure, and so therefore, I'm recommending it for you, instead of saying there's been a growing body of clinical evidence that suggests that this procedure would be good for you. So it's an individualistic kind of approach.
All right. And Carrie, you've been reporting on new research about cowboy doctors that was written up in a National Bureau of Economic Research paper recently. What did it find?
So this paper was looking at what portion of our high medical spending might these cowboy doctors account for. Mm-hmm. And what the findings suggest is that it might be as much as 17% of the variation in healthcare spending around the country, which would add up to possibly as much as $500 billion.
Wow. So a huge amount of money. Let me introduce Ariel Dora Stern. She's an assistant professor of business administration at Harvard and co-author of this new research. And thanks for coming in. Good
thanks
to have
for
you.
Having me.
So what do we know about why cowboy doctors work like this? Is it stubbornness? Is it arrogance? Do they just know better than everyone else? Does the research get at that in any way?
I mean, what we do know is we know a bit about these folks. So we know that they're more likely to be male. So, you know, cowboy is perhaps not totally inaccurate. We know that they're less likely to be board certified, and that's actually consistent with other research that's out there. Studies have found that lower quality physicians actually spend about 10 to 25% more treating the same patients. Mm-hmm. So we know a bit about these people. The other thing we know is that they're very geographically clustered. So there are parts of the country that have far more cowboys than others.
Right. For example, where are they most heavily clustered?
So there are a bunch of cowboys in Miami, Florida, for example.
All right.
What we find in this study is that where cowboys are co-located is very correlated with where healthcare spending is high.
Interesting. And so what do we know about this part of the country, for example? As long as we're talking about geographic clusters, how does Boston, the Boston
area,
do?
Yeah, so Boston's interesting. I mean, we all know that Boston has terrific hospitals. And what we find is that Boston not only has very average per capita Medicare spending, but we also have a very average number of cowboys, if anything, a bit below average, both among primary care doctors and cardiologists.
Mm, interesting. Well, so I want to ask you, Ariel, to give me a concrete example from your study of how this kind of physician could be driving up healthcare costs. For example, I know you talk about an elderly patient, 85 years old, suffering from congestive heart failure. So what do established medical guidelines recommend, and what might the cowboy doctor recommend?
Absolutely. So established medical guidelines actually recommend very little. In our survey, we're talking about a patient who has very severe class 4 congestive heart failure. Pretty much everything that can be done has already been tried for this person. He's on 2 liters per minute of supplemental oxygen. He's just uncomfortable at rest. This is a person for whom there are really no clinical indications for doing anything interventional. And the right thing to do based on clinical guidelines is actually to talk about palliative care and to keep this patient very comfortable. And what we find in the study is that there are a fair number of physicians who are actually quite willing to do very intensive things to this patient. 15% of the PCPs and cardiologists we talked to would actually recommend a biventricular pacemaker. Another 17% would admit that patient to the ICU for intensive therapy and monitoring. And these are things that are unambiguously not indicated in the clinical guidelines. Also definitely the case that these are much more expensive interventions.
So it can be expensive. But when it comes to our own medical care and the care of those we love, don't we want those cowboy doctors pushing the frontiers? And in some cases, aren't these docs the pioneers doing stuff that others might not even be thinking of doing?
The nice thing about this survey is that it was done a few years ago. So we can look forward and we can say, hey, were the things that these doctors were recommending back then has evidence now shown us that this would have been the right thing to do? The answer is no. So with this type of patient, the clinical guidelines have not changed since the time of the survey. There's no additional evidence that very intensive interventions are going to be the right thing for a patient like this. Remember, this is in the context of folks who are very, very sick. We're not talking about interventions that have any indication of marginal benefit. It's not that we could do a bit more for this patient and it would just be costly. It's that there's actually no clinical evidence we could do more for this patient that would extend his life. Separately, it's going to be very costly. Sure. And probably pretty unpleasant for the patient.
Carrie, all this raises the question, what's a medical consumer to do? How do we guard against the downside of cowboy doctors? I know you looked into this a little bit in the reporting you did. What do you think?
I think part of what we can do is sort of have this mind shift that more isn't always better when it comes to medical care. And more concretely, I spoke with another co-author of this paper, Jonathan Skinner, who's an economics professor at Dartmouth. And he gave me a very nice example of if you're having back pain, which is incredibly common, and you go to see a back surgeon, and the back surgeon says, well, based on my intuition, I think that you should have, you know, this operation. And the problem is that the back surgeon will have seen patients who do well after the operation, but he won't have seen patients who do well after not having the operation. Hmm. And so you just can't go with that intuition. And what Professor Skinner recommended was using the internet, but in a careful way. The internet has a lot of misinformation. But if you look up cases of patients like you and you see that they may not have benefited from a particular procedure, then you might want to check in with the doctor about what evidence they've got for recommending it.
You know, this reminds me of a personal situation. A few years back, I had knee pain. I went to a doctor, a sports medicine doctor. He looked, he did an MRI, he pushed, he probed, and he said, you know, most of the time we don't know what causes knee pain. I don't want to recommend going in there and cutting because that is usually worse. Sometimes it ends up worse than it was. So he scared me away from doing anything. And after a month, lo and behold, my knee was fine. It just got better on its own. So
sounds like he was a non-cowboy.
He was a non-cowboy. Right?
Might be good.
So, Professor Stern, does that sound like good advice? Get used to the idea that less is sometimes more based on your study?
Less is certainly sometimes more. And I think that what our study really highlights is the importance of clinical guidelines as well. Keeping that in mind is important and probably related to our healthcare spending.
That's Ariel Dora Stern. She's an assistant professor of business administration at Harvard and co-author of a new paper just published by the National Bureau of Economic Research. Thank you so much for coming in, Professor Stern.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog, and you can find a link to her latest post on cowboy doctors at radioboston.org. Thanks, Carrie.
You're welcome, Anthony.
Was a cowboy I knew in South Texas. His face was burnt deep by the sun.
We'll go out with some nice cowboy doctor music. Stay with us. Up next, Boston was recently ranked the 16th friendliest city for bicyclists. We'll talk about what it needs to do to be number one. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.
When the country was wild all around, sit out under the stars.